And let's just have open hearts as Tone shares with us today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, just thank you so much for the ministry already that Tony shared from you. His heart is to hear from you, Lord, and to share what's on your heart with us. And Lord, we've heard today that you are a loving Father who wants to have this amazingly special relationship with us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as Tony speaks today, you would continue to open our hearts and our minds to what it is you want to say to us. So just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have liberty as Tony shares today, just to lead him in what he shares. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Doug, and how's it, Crossways? Good to be with you today. We in our series, Incorruptible Love from Ephesians. We're going to be looking at a scripture out of Galatians, if you want to just start moving there, just before Ephesians, end of Galatians, and in Ephesians itself. I think a lot of the ministry of the service today has really been towards the Father heart towards us, and how he wants to live us to live in liberty, okay? And in the past few weeks, we've been looking in our Ephesians series on this topic of the Holy Spirit, who is the empowerment of our Christian lives. He empowers us to live in a way that pleases him, in a way in which we are feeling liberated and free and joyful and all those attributes that he provides for us. But there's a receptivity that we need to have to the Holy Spirit. And so before the service and in the service, I might have mentioned that this another picture besides the Father picture, the Father heart, is the picture of the stuck in the mud game, okay? So we know the stuck in the mud game, do we? It's okay, kids run around, and if you're the bad one, you're the naughty one or whatever, you touch somebody, they are stuck in the mud. And it's a bit like that in the world. We can get touched by the world, and we can get stuck in the mud. Look, we're not free, okay? We are captive to the world or to the paradigms around us. And God doesn't want us to be captive or stuck. He wants us to be totally free in him, free to be the fullness of who he's made us to be. So, Carl, while you're looking there for that, is that in stuck in the mud, when you get touched, right, you have to stand dead still. You're not allowed to move. And then you're like calling your mates who are free, if there are any, to come and liberate you. Hey, all right, so Carl. Okay, Carl and I work at school. We're both in the sports, so Carl has to liberate me. Okay, ready, Carl? Come and liberate me quickly. Okay, right. Carl, liberate me now. Come, Butch, quickly, quickly. There you go. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Yeah. So it's just a picture that I had at the beginning of the service. Is like, you know, sometimes we're there and the worries of the world and not being free And all of that is like we're standing and we're not open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives for whatever reason. And God wants to say to you today, be free to the movement of the Spirit in your life. And I loved what Trudy said as well, that he's listening. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I had an amazing experience with God. I wasn't in the greatest space. We all get into like tough times, like where you're feeling stuck. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was feeling really stuck, and I just had a time. I was fortunate enough to go away on a camp, and there was some free time where I could just be with the Lord. And you know what most of the time was spent doing? I was kind of wrestling with the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm battling with this thing. I'm battling with that thing. You know, maybe I'm really struggling. Most of the time was just offloading. And it's amazing that God is listening. So if you're feeling stuck, don't be afraid to offload. Be in the presence of God. That's number one. If you want to be liberated, be in his presence. And don't be afraid to reveal your heart. God wants to hear your heart. All right. So I want to let's look at scripture. I'm going to try go quite quickly through my sermon because I think the Spirit is already speaking. And let's see what we can glean out of Scripture on this. Just remember from where we've come from the Holy Spirit, the mini-series out of Ephesians, there's 8 references to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians, and we zeroing in on three key references to the Holy Spirit. The first one he covered is the fact that you're sealed in the Holy Spirit. God has literally taken a stamp, and stamped Heather here, gonk, you are mine, okay? You're mine now. I've got your number, okay? I've got you. I've got your back. You're mine. And that's not going to change. And as he stamped Heather, he put his Holy Spirit in Heather. So when we first believe, we receive the Holy Spirit. He becomes resident in our lives. But it doesn't stop there. A week later, we spoke about being filled with the Spirit, and we spoke about filled and baptism. And what is it to be filled in the Holy Spirit? What is it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And the essence of that is that we need an impartation of power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's an impartation for ministry and kingdom building and witnessing to the world, all right? So somebody said it like this: when you're sealed in the Holy Spirit, He is resident in your life. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He is president of your life. Okay, so He becomes the president, and He kind of imparts this power on you, and He leads you in the ways of ministry and life. But there's another reference in Ephesians, and particularly in Galatians chapter 5, which talks about walking with the Spirit. It's not as clear in Ephesians in this way, but Ephesians talks a lot about walking. It talks about walk worthy of the calling for which you have been called, right? In Ephesians 4. Later on, Ephesians 4, don't walk as the unbelievers walk, okay? Ephesians 5, it says, be wise in the way that you walk. So lots of reference to walking, and in that Ephesians 5 one, it's really referencing the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5 now. You've got some group work, so best you concentrate. All right, Galatians chapter 5. I'll read the scripture, and then you have to answer some questions in your group. Okay, here we go. Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposite to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. All right, so first question in your group is, can you identify 5 descriptive references to how we are to interact with the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'm not an English teacher, so I don't know if they are adjectives or verbs or whatever they are. Tanya, can you help me? But there are 5, I couldn't come up with it. But there are 5 descriptive references, okay? Some of them are like instructive verbs, all right, mostly, with reference to the Spirit. Can you find them? There are 5. It says, the Spirit. Okay, can you find them quickly? In your group for a minute. Okay, let's see. What do those words and phrases tell us about how we should be with the Holy Spirit? Okay, I'm going to ask around. Ange, what did you guys come up with? Yes. Closeness. So you can't walk with somebody you're not close to. You're not walking with them then, are you? So it's being really close to the Holy Spirit. What else? Pete? Neville? Sorry, must I turn up? Okay, Neville? Okay. Surrender, I like that. Yeah, so it's closeness, surrendering to. You can't be led if you're not surrendered, eh? Yes, informed, yeah, good, excellent. So being informed by the Holy Spirit, sorry? Your lifestyle. So your whole lifestyle, when it says live, it's like almost be immersed in the Holy Spirit, totally immersed, your whole life immersed in the Spirit. So it's submission, it's closeness, it's being guided, it's being immersed, it's being in tune with the Holy Spirit, in tune with Him as well. So I want to pass on this big idea that Paul has in this scripture. I want you to listen to this for a second. Right. He talks about law here. And he says in verse 18 that you and I, if we are led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. Now, there are two laws at play here. The one he keenly focuses on is the law of the flesh. So if anyone pictured, there's a law of the flesh, which is kind of like a natural law in the world. It's like a law of sin and death, right? And we on our own can't overcome this law. We can't, all right? In our own strength. On this vast opposite of the continuum is God's righteous law and holiness. And in our own strength, we can't live up to that on our own. There's no way we can do it. If you're honest, you know that you can't overcome this on your own. And if you're honest, you know you can't do this holiness thing on your own. So enter the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, it says, we are no longer under the law. We're not under the law of righteousness and holiness because we meet the law of righteousness and holiness through the Spirit. By the guidance and filling of the Spirit, we can live holy. We can live righteousness in righteousness. Look at the list of the fruits of the Spirit, which he lists there. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the Spirit, we have this ability to live righteousness in righteousness. Right? And by the Spirit, we can overcome the law of the flesh and death and sin. Do you get it? So can you see the importance of being submitted to the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, living with the Holy Spirit? Can you see it? So we need to seek this. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit to liberate us, to live free of the law. And so now we're not trying to be self-righteous, and we're not trying to be whipping ourselves into submission, trying to beat this thing called sin. So I wanted you to get that. That's an important aspect of this. And so what I want to land with is three ways that we can live with the Holy Spirit, walk with the Holy Spirit, be led with the Holy Spirit, submit to the Holy Spirit. Just three things. And for that, we need to go to Ephesians 5. So why don't you just turn a few pages over to Ephesians 5. Can you believe it that, we speak about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have this Holy Spirit. You can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. But we see so many Christians stuck, okay? And I know maybe I'm repeating a point, but we see many Christians stuck because they're not continuously walking with the Spirit. You and I get into that position. So how can we live in step with the Holy Spirit? Three things. Ephesians 5, go down to verse 15. Paul, in the first part of Ephesians 5, is talking about imitating God by not doing a whole lot of these things, but doing these things differently. So living in certain specific ways, like not in sexual immorality as an example. And then he says this in verse 15, which I think gives three important insights into how to walk well with the Spirit. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. There's that word walk again, hey? Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but the wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Point number two, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine. Point three, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to the God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to another one to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, so 3 points. How do we walk with the Holy Spirit in intimacy and submission to the Holy Spirit? Point number one is this. Well, Paul gives 3 contrasts. Okay, all right, they are contrasts, they're not comparisons. The first is walk as the wise, not as the unwise. Now, interestingly, this word wise comes up in Exodus chapter 35. I'm just going to read you that really briefly. I want you to think, listen carefully to this. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord is called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him, listen to this, he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence and knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze. And he goes on and on about that. Interestingly, the same word wise that is used in Ephesians is the same word for wise that is used there. It's an impartation of God's gift of wisdom for ministry, wisdom to make things, wisdom to do things. It's not being smart, it's not being clever, it's not being worldly wise or experienced. That's not the wisdom he's talking about. He's not talking about, oh, you can make good decisions. He's saying each of you who have the Spirit of God in you have imparted in you God's gift for ministry, God's special talents that he's given you. And you are to use those talents wisely. So the unwise of us, of the believers, would be those of us who go out into the world and who ignore the spiritual giftings and talents and jobs that God has given us to do, all right? That is living unwisely. That's why he's saying, make well good use of the time, because the days are evil. We must use our time wisely. So whether you're working as a teacher or working as an environmentalist or whatever you might be doing, you need to be doing that unto the Lord, not just so that you can earn a salary, but so you can build kingdom. So my question to you is, are you building kingdom wherever you are? Do you know your spiritual gifts? Are you operating in your spiritual gifts and giving your time over to the Lord? Because let me warn you, there's a warning here. Otherwise, you're just building bricks for Pharaoh. You're building bricks for Pharaoh. Okay, we don't want to be building bricks for Pharaoh. We want to be building kingdom for God. All right. Added to that, it's not just limited to, okay, I'm a teacher, okay, I'm an accountant, but it's in the local church as well. You are not here by accident. You are not here by accident. God has called you into local fellowship in order to serve him and in order to see to it that his kingdom grows and develops and builds. And this is where it happens chiefly as well. So I prompt you and I prod you. I understand that everyone is indifferent. Everyone has got different leadings by the Lord. And some of you are very, very busy. I get that. With your life and in terms of what God has called you to do in the secular world. But it's not, he's not asking you just to serve in the secular world. He's asking you to serve in the local church. Number two, okay, what does it say? How do we walk well? Well, walk as the wise. If we want the impartation of the Spirit and be free and liberated in the Spirit, the way to do that is by living in your giftings. All right. I know for me that I feel totally at peace and closer to God when I'm walking in my giftings. But the second thing is, don't walk like the foolish, but understand the will of God. Understand the will of God. So how do we walk well with the Spirit? In Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just be a few more minutes, about 5 more minutes. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about these foolish people. And he's talking about the Gentiles. If you go to the beginning of chapter 4, he says, they're these people, right? And these people are darkened in their understanding. They are calloused and they cannot understand God's will. They cannot understand God's ways. All right. So the same word foolish is that for those people outside of God. So even as Christians, we can live like the foolish, actually, by not taking heed of the will of God. So as Christians, we need to be careful because you can quickly get trapped into a secular way of operating, a secular way outside of God's will of living. Okay, and the world will want to bend you in that direction. You don't have to look at YouTube for 10 minutes and already there'll be a pulling to go into the world's directives. Okay, but we need to understand what the will of God is. So what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is not a point on a map. Okay, it's not like you need to be in Klerksdorp tomorrow. He might say that, and you need to go and do whatever in Klerksdorp. I don't know. It might be that, but actually, it's generally in the scriptures, it's much broader. Okay, and one aspect of it is there's a boundary and a good boundary. Okay, our kids know in our house, there are boundaries. Okay, so they've got the whole house. They've got the freedom of the whole house. But Joel cannot take the pellet gun and shoot it inside. Okay, that's just stupid, okay? Right, there's a boundary. You're going to hurt somebody, all right? He's pretty good about asking for the pellet gun before he uses it on a target. You may not shoot living things, hey, Joel? Right, yeah, okay. All right, we had to work through that one a bit. But the reality is there are boundaries for our good will, you know? Actually, God wants us to live in liberty and freedom and joy, but there has to be boundaries. We need to know what those boundaries are. Let's be honest. Sexual immorality, it's going to come up. We're going to have like 6 or 7 weeks talking about sex, actually. So we need to talk about that because it's in the Bible, all right? And there's a boundary. Sex outside of the marital covenant is not inside of God's will, people. It's not, as are other things. All right, so you need to know God's parameters, his boundary, okay? That's part of his will. But the second part of his will is what's pleasing to God. It's not just what God's parameters are, but find out. It says in Ephesians 5 earlier in this chapter, it says, find out what pleases God. Find out what pleases God. And so part of that is, Lord, what is pleasing to you? There's a really well-known South African pastor who I've got a connection with. His name is Rory Dyer. Rory is the head pastor of a church called 3CR in Pretoria. It's a massive church. And yeah, he's a real man of God, close to God. And he gave me this tip, if you're wanting to know about God's will for your life, the pleasing part. And you need to make a decision. Maybe you want to write this down. Rory said to me this. He said, Tony, if you've got this decision that you want to make, consider Romans 12 and Romans 14 and ask yourself these 6 things. 1, is it good? Is it good to you? Is it good to the people around you? Is it good to God, this thing? Is it pleasing? All right? 3, is it perfect? Is it perfect? Romans 14, is it righteous? Is there righteousness attached to this thing that you want to do or the decision that you have to make? Is it filled with peace? Does it bring you peace? And finally, does it bring you joy? So Romans 12 and 14, is it good, pleasing, and perfect? Is there righteousness as a fruit? Is there peace as a fruit? Is there joy as a fruit of your decision? And if you can ask yourself that, then you know that you're in the pleasing will of the Father. All right. So Father God is not necessarily always going to be like, he will sometimes say that you need to be a missionary to Indonesia, but actually very often it's go and live. You've got the freedom of the whole house. Go and do. Use your skills as what is pleasing, but is it generally pleasing to him? Okay, and my last point as we land in the next 2 or 3 minutes is this point where he says, do not be drunk, okay, because that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, remember what I said at the beginning? These are contrasts, more contrast and less comparison. It's more of a contrast and less of a comparison. So he's not saying, don't get drunk on wine, but get drunk on the Holy Spirit. Okay? And maybe there are some denominations out there who are a bit like that. Okay, we're not like that. Okay, not. And I don't think Paul was saying that. Okay, I think he might be thinking, oh my word, how did we get to that place? Go and get drunk on the Holy Spirit. He's not saying that. No, it's a contrast. And so he's using drunkenness and he's using the abuse of alcohol to say there are outside influences that we can take in which will lead us and basically consume us so that we're not living in the way that God would want us to live. Alcohol is a classic example of that. What does alcohol do? Well, when you drink alcohol, apparently what it does is it stems the ability of the prefrontal cortex. There's some doctors here, so I'm going to be very careful. I wasn't careful enough about my adjectives and my verbs. But the prefrontal cortex is somewhere in the brain. And what it does is alcohol basically reduces your ability of the prefrontal cortex to work. And it's common knowledge that boys take a really long time to develop this. Okay, we all know this. And girls are way ahead in the prefrontal cortex development. Because boys can be really doof. I know. I teach them. Oh, my word. Hey, Josh. I'm not saying you, Josh. I'm just saying. Yeah. Okay, that was a general statement. Man, did you not think that through when you jumped off the roof, bro? Or did you not think that through when you let the pellet gun off inside? It's like, come on. The prefrontal cortex is not developed. And so when we drink alcohol, it stems the ability of the prefrontal cortex to work. And so we are dwarf, basically, and we're not ourselves. And it's generally people drink in this way to overcome a hurt or they haven't reconciled. Maybe there's an identity, an inadequacy, and these things. And so they fill themselves with alcohol, which deadens their and impairs their ability to make their own decisions and actually makes them into something else. I don't know if you've seen somebody who's really drunk, all right? Maybe once I thought it was funny. I don't think it's funny anymore. It's actually horrible to see, hey? When somebody is legless, okay? And people can get so drunk, they can even lose the constitution of their bodies, hey? They can wet themselves or vomit or whatever. It's horrible. And so alcohol, like other things, if we fill ourselves with things from the outside that make us not who we are fully in Christ, okay? Because of some hurt or whatever, if we consume these outside things, then basically we are outside of the will of the Father and we are deadening the ability for the Spirit to work in us because we're filling ourselves with the wrong thing, okay? So he's saying don't fill yourself with those things. Fill yourself with the Spirit. Give control over to the Spirit, not to something like alcohol. YouTube, I mentioned YouTube, is a classic example, is actually. Any addictions are an example, but YouTube is another example. Pleasing people can be another example, where actually you are so addicted to pleasing people because of the affirmation you got to give, because you are not right with the Father, so you're seeking pleasing people. And sometimes we see this in women's relationships as well, is actually this thing of going from partnership to partnership to partnership to partnership, trying to get affirmation from people. Don't fool yourselves with things from the outside that would hurt you and demean you, but fool yourselves with the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does is He brings the best out of you. He brings the best out of you. I want to finish with this analogy. It's actually an analogy I got from Tim Mackey, or I take from Tim Mackey Bible Project. Tim Mackey, when he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, he said it's a bit like this, as I close. It's a bit like marriage. Okay, and I always need to tread a little bit carefully when Alana's in the room because she doesn't want to be mentioned. I'll get a tongue lashing after this, I'm sure. But basically, for me and Alana, all right, and me especially, when I'm with Alana, I'm the best possible person I can be, really. She makes me, okay? I'm not just saying that, although I'm hoping maybe that'll might pay dividends, but basically, she really makes me. And in marriage makes one. She completes me. She helps me to be better. And sometimes that is like affirming me. And sometimes it's like, what were you thinking when you said that? You know, are you doof? You know, and when she's not around, I'm not necessarily the best person that I can be. All right, I start. I'm not particularly organized. I don't know what would happen in our household if she wasn't around. I think the whole thing would just collapse in a heap, basically. And it's like that with the Holy Spirit. Does Alana change me? Not necessarily. Do I change because of Alana? Not necessarily. But when she's present with me, I'm a better person. And so with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as you dwell with the Holy Spirit, you are a better person. You're the fullness of who you are. And so, as we close now and as we respond, won't you think in your heart, have I been open to the Holy Spirit? Have I been walking with the Holy Spirit in these three ways? What are my gifts? What are my gifts? Am I employing them? Because when I'm employing my gifts, the Holy Spirit will be there with you. Am I walking wisely within the parameters that God have set, pleasing Him, walking not as the foolish, but walking in understanding? And finally, am I open to the Holy Spirit? Have I spent time and said, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Be with me. Help me so that I can live wisely for you. Amen. Amen. Can I pray for you or us as we close? Can I do that, Doug? Or all right, let's bow our heads. If anyone would like prayer afterwards, if you're feeling that you are stuck, don't go until you've had prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we want to thank you that you're a good Father, an amazing Father, the best Father anyone could have. You hold us up. You put us on your shoulders so we can just live in joy and peace and hope. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit brings the best out of us. I pray that you would forgive us for times when we've maybe quenched the Holy Spirit by not living in our giftings. We pray forgiveness for times when we've grieved the Holy Spirit by being outside of your will. We pray for times when we have filled our lives with things we shouldn't have instead of filling it with the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would prompt us, Holy Spirit, to spend time with you, Lord, to be surrendered to you, Lord, so that you can make us into the fullness of who you have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Tones, and God bless you all. We're going to have coffee and tea outside. And as Tones said, if anyone feels stuck, please come to the front and we'd love to pray with you.